Hello and welcome to this video in which we expose the energy transition's weakest link. You might think that the energy transition is all about building enough renewable energy to try and replace the phase out of coal. But that's only half of the story, and it might be the less important half of the story for investors. That's according to our energy expert, James Allen. Now, James and I don't agree on anything when it comes to the green dream. He's very much a believer. I am very much a skeptic. But for the second time this year, we've come to agree on something. And we came to the same conclusion in completely independent reports without realizing what the other person was writing about, which means we thought we'd record the video for this week about that topic. Now, James, I would call this a fatal flaw in the energy transition to net zero. You'd probably just call it a little bottleneck, but what is it?
No, it certainly is a bottleneck. I think, you know, clean energy has made enormous strides over the last decades. Costs have come down. And I would say the real bottleneck is not one of technology. I think the technology is there. I would say that the thing that's holding it back is actually the grid. I think there's now a big investment needed to beef out the grid, make it ready for intermittent resources from the various places they come from. Lots of money is needed to be spent on things like high voltage cables, pylons, transformers, and there's a real shortage of these pieces of kits. I mean, we're not the only country in the world looking to expand our grid. Have the same challenges at lots of places in the world, and the US being a prime example. So we're all chasing after a limited amount of this infrastructure to really build out our electricity grid to make it to make it cope for all these green sources coming onto the grid over the next 20, 30 years. So this is the conclusion that we've made, that the real bottleneck here is actually going to be in upgrading the grid.
So before we dig into the details here and some of the figures and what is causing this bottleneck, I want to get to the nub of the problem, because I find it truly extraordinary that halfway through this energy transition, suddenly governments have realized that actually we need electricity grid that is about double the size of what we've currently got. We need to build it about, well, many fold faster than we currently are building it, depending on which country you're in. Didn't they see this coming? And like, how can we figure this out now, when surely by the time we get this done, I don't think it's even possible, but even theoretically speaking, by the time we get this done, it's going to be well past 2050.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. This has been actually flagged by lots of people in the industry for years now, that our grid wasn't really capable of taking on all this load from renewable resources. It's been flagged many times. There's been a realization now that we need to get moving and get moving very quickly, because I think we're seeing that we're in competition for these pieces of kit, you know, all around the world. I think, you know, it's like buying an iPhone. I think Keith Anderson, the boss of UK utility Scottish Power, said this. It's like buying an iPhone without actually buying the cable with it. You know, there's so much we need to do, so much we need to spend. There's, you know, power cables needed to reach the Earth to the Moon 200 times over. That's just in the 17 years alone. So this is a mammoth scale of investment required, and it has unfortunately taken some people by surprise. But you know, there is an opportunity here now, because this bottleneck really is really starting to be seen across the supply chain, and there's an investment opportunity for you know, investors in the know, I'm sure.
Yeah, in my own report about this, I sort of compared it to the Great Wall of China, which was the biggest infrastructure project ever. And I think this is like 20 times bigger or something like that, to try and build this global electricity grid. It almost doesn't matter who ends up with the contracts to build these cables and pylons and all the rest of the transformers and the transmission lines, because, you know, the point of net zero is that it's a global goal. So, you know, each government's trying to achieve net zero within its own country, but, you know, whether Germany gets it, the cable, or whether the UK gets it, someone's going to be without, right? And so doesn't this really mean that the net zero target is just out the window?
I wouldn't say necessarily it's unachievable, but what I would say that we need to get a move on. I think it's, you know, looking sort of increasingly doubtful that the manufacturing capacity will align with the rapid pace at which sort of new projects need to be built. You know, the evidence now that points to a severe shortage of this cabling, that, you know, obviously could entirely threaten the clean energy transition entirely. But you know, the good news is that we are waking up to what needs to be done. So the supply chain is starting to respond. Contracts are being awarded to beef out our grid. The UK, the National Grid, just put out a report recently that £60 billion needs to be spent to upgrade our grid. That sort of, you know, made headline news across the UK. So I think awareness is now being sort of factored in. But yeah, we need to get a move on. This is we have got no time to waste whatsoever. And I'd say this is the key bottleneck threatening the clean energy revolution. But I wouldn't say yet. I would say it has the potential to derail it. But I still think we have time to reach our net zero goals by 2050.
Yeah, I think they're about 20 years too late at the very least. But you know, I think this disagreement doesn't really matter between us, because in the end, the investment is the same. You know, whether they can reach the goal is one thing, but whether they're going to try is clearly going to happen. Just to be sort of clear about what needs to happen, you know, in the next 26 years, we need to mine enough resources to produce these things. We need to build the manufacturing capacity. We need to manufacture. We need to buy the land. We need to install. And then we need to have all of the equipment that goes around it, such as the transformers and the voltage optimization, so on and so forth. What are the actual bottlenecks within this bottleneck that we're laying out? Are there any particular issues where you think this attempt to build this fast grid is going to fall short?
I would say there's a couple, certainly in the high voltage cable markets. You know, these are, you know, the cables that connect sort of, you know, offshore wind farms back on land. Even the cables actually on land, actually into the sort of distribution network. There's a severe shortage of those at the moment. There's only a certain amount of companies, a limited amount of companies building this, building these cables. They have backlogs of orders stretching back, you know, stretching to many, many years. So I think that's a key bottleneck. Also, I think transformers as well, similar situations in the transformer market. There's a real shortage of transformers across the world. We're certainly seeing that in the US and certainly seeing that in Europe. So I would say that those two areas are really causing sort of, you know, grid operators sort of sleepless nights, I would say, right now. I think that they're the two markets are particularly prone to sort of shortages. Bearing in mind what's going on, all the companies are really flagging that they're at capacity already, and they can't really work much harder. So yeah, that's they're the two areas I think we need a lot more. Also, the interconnector market, which is related to the high voltage cable market. These are the cables, you know, connecting different markets and different countries as well. They're much, you know, they're really sort of powerful cables. We, you know, the UK alone has now proposed interconnectors with all sorts of places, even down, you know, into the Sahara Desert. You know, certainly also in the Nordic region as well. There's been a big explosion in this area over the last decade or so, and that's being expected to ramp up even more over the next 5 years as well. So that's also an area seeing some shortage. So yeah, the wider cable market and the transformer market really are exposed to this increased demand that we're seeing.
In my report about this, what I really focused on is just the scale of this in terms of trillions of US dollars and pounds, of course, obviously. Let's put some figures on all of this. We've got some stats here from your report. Investment in power networks needs to more than double to $600 billion per year by 2030 alone, according to the International Energy Agency. The market for high voltage cables alone is already booming. It's gone up from $3 billion on average for the period between 2015 and 2020 to $11 billion. In 2022, and it needs to be far more in order to catch up. There's this just truly enormous amount of money that would need to be applied to these sectors in order to get things going. This seems to be like a dream scenario for investors. The government has sort of committed to half of the energy transition in phasing out coal and, well, nuclear in the case of Germany, but building enough renewables to replace that. It sort of has only just figured out it also needs to build this grid. But given that it's committed to one, it now doesn't really have a choice about the other, right? So this is as close to a safe bet as you get in investment markets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, this stuff is happening now. I mean, we're seeing contracts being awarded across some of the areas I've been talking about, across Europe and across the US. These companies are already at sort of capacity. They're seeing huge demand for their products. The market is starting to respond as well, but there's so much more growth in the pipe for some of these companies. And it's a really exciting time. I mean, if you're a shareholder of a high voltage cable company, interconnector company, or transformer company, I think you're looking at some very sort of exciting years of growth ahead of you. I think with all the projections of demand awaiting us, and some of these shortages in kit that we're seeing. So yeah, for investors, I'd say this is a really sort of as close to a surefire thing as possible. Not, you know, the market really hasn't truly awoken to the scale of the opportunity, and some of those numbers you just laid out should be really enticing for investors. So certainly my readers have been made aware. There's a couple of really interesting opportunities on the table that we're also investigating. So this is, I would say, for the next 5-10 years, this is really going to be the story in the energy markets, certainly in the electricity markets, to make our grid be able to cope with the intermittent renewable resources that we have in the world. I think this is going to be, the investment story of the 2020s, I'd say.
And it's going to have to last an extraordinarily long time, I mean, if it does, if we're right about all of this. Can you give me a narrative for why this was, given its size, why was this overlooked for the last, say, 2 decades of climate alarmism, given it's painfully obvious that it was going to be necessary from the beginning? Why are we so far behind? And the second part of the narrative is, what happens as, we've got already these huge bottlenecks in renewable energy? I think there were some solar companies in the UK. They were quoted 20 years in order to connect to the grid for their project a few months ago or a few years ago. Why is that happening? And how is that going to be framed in politics? Because this is it's a big opportunity for investors, but this is a pretty damn big failure for governments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly on the last question, we have huge bottlenecks to connecting some of these solar wind projects in the UK, in Europe, and in the US. Now, there are sort of regulations coming through to sort of cut some of this red tape and decrease the amount of time to connect some of these projects. So that is in the works. So I think we will see some of these large connection times come down in short order, actually. And that actually prompts the question, we are going to see all this backlog of projects that's been stuck in the pipeline for sometimes years. I think we could see not all of them will get built, but we could see a real a lot of them come onto the grid in short order, UK, Europe, and in the US. So that's going to be something to watch. As for the first part of the question, why? Well, that, energy policy has been a bit of a mess over the last sort of 15 years. It's not really been joined up, not really been thought through over the long term, often thought about in sort of 5-year cycles. The name of the game really has been trying to promote green energy. And that's in some ways been a success. We've seen lots of projects come on stream. They didn't really think through some of the sort of secondary effects of that in terms of the grid and what needs to be done to the grid. And I can't, some work has been done on this. The grid is a different grid to where it was 10 years ago. But as we talked about, and some of the numbers you've talked about, we're still not there yet. We have lots more renewable projects coming online, coming on stream, and the grid isn't yet ready to cope with that. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens really next. But one thing we can be sure of is that demand for this for these cables, transformers, that it's not going away. I mean, copper, for example, is another thing to look at. Copper, is the backbone of the green energy transition. It's fundamental to all this wiring. We're seeing the markets now sort of respond to some of these sort of supply crunch projections in the copper market. The copper's sort of rallying somewhat, so the market is starting to wake up to what's on our doorstep now, and with the urgency that we need to buy some of this stuff. I have hope that the market will respond, but certainly for investors, this is a good time to start looking at this huge expected uptick in demand.
Yeah, it is very rare for infrastructure spending to boom as much as it will. If you ask me, what's happened here is that, and I'm going to have to give you the last word after I say this, is Nobody thought governments would be stupid enough to turn to intermittent energy as their key source of power. And so nobody bothered to prepare to build this grid or to plan for this grid, or to actually bother start building in time to actually get this grid ready for the renewable energy system that we've gone ahead and committed to without thinking through what it really means. Like I said, you have the last word, James. You're going to have to rebut that.
I won't rebut it fully. I think there's some key, there's some truth in what you say, really. I would say, bottlenecks do happen in industry. Some of these companies have been flagging up these bottlenecks for a period of time now. The grid has been flagging up some of these issues as well. And the markets are now starting to respond. So, I still have hope that some of this investment can take place. But what I do know is that for investors, it's a really exciting times. I think we've been slow off the mark, but I think we do have time to get everything in order, our ducks in a row by 2050. I think we're seeing huge projects now being awarded, £1 billion projects, just in some of the cable operators that I'm looking at. And I think this is going to be the name of the game over the next sort of 20, 30 years.
It's straight out of Flash Gordon, really. We've only got 26 years to save the planet. Thanks very much for joining me, James, and everyone at home. Thanks for watching.